Grandma Ria. She'd never travelled on an aeroplane before. So before her first ever flight, to beat her fear, she took to the sky on a roller coaster.
That beginning with together. That chickadee.
Have you need the eyes, killer?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Boulder Creek Community Church, and my name is Adam, and I am one of the pastors here. And if you are tuning in for the very first time, I want to welcome you, and I want to just say how glad I am that you have chosen to take time to listen or to watch this message. Whenever you are, wherever you are, I hope and I pray that this will be a message that will meet you right where you're at and encourage your life and help equip you to become the person that you want to become and that God is inviting you to become.
Shake and crumble at your name, the oceans roar and tumble at your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, oh Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord, let your name, the morning breaks in glory. Sings your story, yeah. Out of your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise. Praise, oh Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, no one like our God, we will sing that there is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you. God, we will sing that.
today we're going to wrap up our four-part series that we have called Essentials, which has been built on this statement. The Christian life is an invitation to enjoy life with Jesus, with others, and for others. In fact, I'd like you to say that with me. Even if you're alone or driving in your car, I want you to say this statement with me. The Christian life is an invitation to enjoy life with Jesus, with others, and for others. You know, we talk about IQ. We talk about EQ, emotional quotient. How is your HQ? How is your happiness quotient? Now, as we dig into this message today, I'm going to use some terms, and I really mean the same thing by all of them. I might say joy, I might say happiness, I might talk about fulfillment, but in the end, to me, at least for today's purposes, they mean the same thing. They're all based on the Greek word blessed, makarios, which is to have a deep, satisfying well-being about yourself. And so let me ask you again, how is your HQ? You know, I came across the Serenity Prayer a long time ago. And in fact, the Serenity Prayer is read before each Celebrate Recovery meeting and before each step study meeting. By the way, we are starting two step studies this week, one on Wednesday night and one on Saturday night. I would love for you to join us. You don't have to commit. I want you to come once or twice, check it out. And if you think that this is something that would really help you grow as a Christian and develop a more fulfilled and happy life, then I would love for you to join us. And so reach out to me and let me know if you are interested. But I want to read to you the entire Serenity Prayer. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right, if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever and ever in the next. Man, one of these days I'm going to do an entire message series on the Serenity Prayer. There is so much packed in to that prayer. But let me go on. The Declaration of Independence, written in 1776, says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it leaves us hanging there. Is it even possible? Or is it just the pursuit that matters? Henry David Thoreau says this: happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you turn your attention to other things, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder. And the Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Are you happy? Now, people that know me well, my family, I'm not sure that they would ever use the word happy to describe me. They might use the word pensive, introverted, quiet, maybe moody sometimes, but I highly doubt that they would ever use the word happy to describe me. Yet, it has been a driving force in my life, and yours as well, to find real, lasting happiness. Some versions of Christianity have taught us, maybe you've heard this before, God doesn't care whether you're happy or not. What He cares about is your holiness. C.S. Lewis addresses that. I love this quote. He says, the Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. but we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify God, God is inviting us to enjoy Him. Think of the person living back in the 7th century, a peasant farmer. Think of the African-American slave in the 1700s. Think of the person that is struggling with a chronic illness. Think of the person who has lost a loved one. Or how about the person who is in prison? Scripture speaks to the reality that we can live a happy life no matter what our conditions are in. In fact, our happiness has very little to do with what we have. And it has a whole lot more to do with other things that we're going to address today. And so let me define for you happiness as I understand it. As I study Scripture and I look at the meaning of what it means to live a joy-filled life, this is the definition I came up with. Happiness means that you experience a deep, abiding satisfaction and security from being in God's favor. Now, let me break that down for you a little bit. It is a deep, meaning it is not a surface thing. It is not something that is easily lost. It's not a fleeting emotion that comes and goes based on your mood or whether you have had your caffeine yet. It is an abiding, meaning it has got stickiness. It is not dependent upon favorable circumstances. And let me be clear, it is not dependent upon your finances or your health. And it is not dependent upon whether your team wins or loses. If that were the case, then Raider fans would never be happy. Am I right? And so it is a deep, it is an abiding, but it is also a satisfaction. That is a contented spirit. Not an anxious, not a if I only had, but a deep satisfaction. And then finally, I use the word security. Security. And that is that I am okay with God. And because I am okay with God, I am okay with myself. And so, there is a happiness that God has for us. But it may not always be a happiness in life, but what it is a happiness with life. And there was a stark difference between those two. My daughter, who just a couple of months ago gave birth to a beautiful, beautiful boy named Judah Lee. And he is so precious. I'm a grandpa, so I get to brag a little bit about him. But my daughter, she is happy with life. She is in love with her husband. She's got a beautiful baby boy. She's got a community. She's a worship leader at his church. She has a deeply meaningful, happy life. But she is not always happy in her life. Yesterday, I went to see her, and it took her over 2 hours to get lunch in because her son, this beautiful boy who can do no wrong, was a little grouchy, was a little grumpy, wouldn't take a nap. So we're not always happy in life, but we can, over the long haul, be happy with life. It's interesting. There is now a new science. They call it the science of happiness. In fact, over the last 20 years, this has absolutely exploded. The research that is coming out is enormous. Some scholars discovered that, you know what, we're focusing on depression, we're focusing on anxiety. Instead, what we ought to be doing is focusing on happiness and a joy-filled life. This is some of the stuff that they have come up with that I find very interesting. About 10% of our happiness is a result of our circumstances or a result of if-when type of thinking. If I could or when I get, then I'll be happy. But they call this caffeine happiness. When you go out and buy a new pair of shoes, or you go out and get a mani-pedi, or you go out and buy a new tool, it gives you a 10% bump in your happiness, but it always goes away. And that's why you have to continually buy new stuff, or get new things to continue to get that bump in happiness. About 50% of our happiness is a result of genetics. In other words, you're just born that way. And some of you, you are just born happy. And the rest of us hate you. Actually, no, we don't hate you. We're jealous of you. And we actually need people like you in our lives. You are what they call sanguine. You just have a disposition that is happy. Doesn't mean you're not sad ever. Doesn't mean that you don't have problems. But you tend to be optimistic about life. And then a lot of people are more like me. We tend to be very melancholy. There's often just an underlying sadness or even depression or unhappiness that is just part of our makeup. So 10%, 50%, the other 40%, and that is significant. The other 40% comes down to life choices. Decisions that you and I make, the habits that you and I have developed in our life, though they be good or bad, have a lot to do with contributing or not contributing to our happiness in life. And so let me repeat our statement at Boulder Creek Community Church. We are invited to enjoy life with Jesus, with others, and for others. And everything you and I need to live a happy life is right there in that statement. With Jesus, that is where we get a sense of worth, a sense of significance. We get our value from Him and what He thinks of us. We were so valued by Him that He went to the cross. He loved you so much that He died for your sins and for mine. And so we get our sense of worth from developing a deep, meaningful relationship with Jesus. And then you look at the next statement, with others, and that is where we get our sense of belonging. As human beings, we cannot have a happy life, a fulfilling life, if we do not belong. And the church, by design, is a place where anybody can belong. And then thirdly, we get our purpose for others. We get our calling, our sense of purpose, our sense of meaning in life as we live, not for our own sake only, but for the sake of others. And so for this message, I want to get really, really practical with you about living a happy life. And let's start with this first statement, with Jesus. Because here's the reality. So many of you, you are actually undermining your own happiness. Some of you are impulsive. You're taking a short view of things. You're getting hits on caffeine happiness. And you're putting pleasure over fulfillment. Some of you are just getting bad information. Fear has captivated your heart. And some of you have allowed toxic people into your life. You don't know how to set healthy boundaries, and so other people are dragging you down and pulling you away from living a happy and fulfilling life. And then some of it just comes down to our decisions. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? How much sleep do you get? Do you get enough exercise? Do you get enough of a good diet? You know, COVID-19 has made this very, very difficult for us. There are more suicides in the city of Portland than there are COVID-19 deaths. Just this week, I heard there are more drug overdoses, deaths by drug overdose, than there are COVID-19 deaths in San Francisco. You know, interestingly, the average age of the person who dies of COVID-19 is 78 years old. Before COVID-19, the average age of someone who died in California, 78 years old. Did you know that 94% of those who die of COVID-19 had pre-existing conditions? They had health issues, whether it be something to do with their respiratory system or diabetes, that contributed to their vulnerability to that disease. Now, This is just me. This is just me, okay? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what to believe. I just find it very interesting that even the World Health Organization has now come out and said we are doing more damage, more destruction to people's health through the lockdown than COVID-19 is doing. That is a case where the cure is worse than the disease. And so just me, I'm 55 years old. I live a pretty healthy life. I take vitamin C. And since COVID-19, I've learned I need to take vitamin D. I need to take zinc. I get exercise. I try to live a healthy life. I live with reasonable precautions. But I made a decision at the very beginning of COVID-19, I am not, for the most part, going to change how I live. I'm going to continue to pursue a life that I enjoy with Jesus, with others, and for others. And the truth is at my age and my health, I have over a 99% chance of not dying, even if I contract the disease. And you know, the scriptures remind us that it is appointed for a person to die once, and then the judgment. In other words, God knows when you're going to die, and He knows how you're going to die. And this doesn't mean that we live reckless, irresponsible lives. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to literally destroy my health in order to not catch this particular disease. And so, like I said, I'm going to continue with reasonable precautions and love and respect for everyone else who might disagree to live my life with Jesus, with others, and for others. You know, at the very, very beginning of this series, I presented Luke chapter 6:40 to you. It says this: a student is not above his teacher, but when he is fully trained, he will be like him. And that key word in that verse is the word train. We must train to experience the full and abundant and satisfying and happy life that Jesus is inviting us to. I've said this many times. It's one of my favorite all-time quotes. You don't get Jesus like you get a suntan. You can't be passive. You can't be fearful. You've got to take action and train. You've got to train if you're going to experience this kind of life. And so, a happy life is life with Jesus. Because happiness is not about what, but about who. It's about developing a deeper, more fulfilling, meaningful life, an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Christians for over 2,000 years now have given us proven habits, disciplines, if you will, that have shown to develop a growth and maturity in our lives. And there's no quick fix. This is not something that you can throw in the microwave. It is the simple, but difficult, and long and difficult road at times. Some of the key habits, some of the key disciplines that Christians have practiced throughout the centuries: scripture reading, sitting at the feet of Jesus, reading His Word, letting His Word transform, literally transform our minds and the way we think. Silence and solitude. And for some of you, especially you extroverts, that is really, really hard. And we live in a loud world and we live in a fast world. And it is difficult, but you have to strive to find time in your life where you can be still and where you can be silent. One of the things I began almost a year ago is the practice of gratitude. And I am so angry with myself that I didn't start this practice years ago. Every day, almost every day, I come up with at least 3 things that I'm grateful for, and I try not to repeat myself. Maybe there's a few that are repetitive, but I try to come up with something new and something different that I am grateful for every single day. I cannot tell you the power that that has had in my life. And why is this important? Why is being quiet, sitting at the feet of Jesus, spending time in Scripture important? Because one of the things it does is that it pulls us into the present. Some of us that really struggle with anxiety need to understand that anxiety pulls us into the future, a future that is uncertain, a future that is unknown, one that we have no control over. But when we sit still and sit in the presence of God, it pulls us into the present, where we learn to be in the present. Psychologists today call this mindfulness. And there is power. You don't even need God in your life. This is just a biological, physiological fact as to how God designed us. We need to live in the present. It's the only place we can truly be. And by the way, we're the only creatures in all of God's creation that tend to live in the future. And that's why we struggle so much with anxiety. And so some of the things that we can begin to do is to savor the little moments and experiences that we have daily. Enjoy your food. I can't tell you how often I gulp down a meal and I'm thinking of someone else or I'm watching something on TV instead of savoring every bite and every taste. On a walk, stop and smell the roses. There's a reason that phrase has been around for so long. Or if you don't want to smell the roses, take a picture of them and post them on Instagram or whatever. You know, when I was 18 years old, my mom sent me to a counselor because she saw how much I was struggling with depression. And not long after that, she picked up one of the albums that I was obsessed with at the time, and she began to read the lyrics. Remember albums, guys? Remember when you could sit down and read all the lyrics of an album? Well, this album that I was obsessed with was Pink Floyd's The Wall. And after reading through the lyrics of those songs, she looked at me and she says, "Adam, no wonder you're depressed. See, the battle for your heart, the battle to live a happy life is won in our mind." And so we need to think very carefully about what we think about and what we're putting into our minds on a regular basis. Some of you are undermining your own happiness because of what you fill your mind with day after day after day. See, your problem is not your circumstances. Your problem is not what you have or don't have. Your problem is in between your ears. What you allow in your mind and what you allow your mind to dwell on. And so we are invited to enjoy life with Jesus, but secondly, with others. With others. Having meaningful, intimate relationships. What we said a couple weeks ago was have meals, eat with others, eat with people, and enjoy friendships and fellowships. There was a Harvard study done over 75 years ago. Thousands of men from all walks of life were followed for years. In fact, the very first cohort of this study are a group of men that are in their 90s now. And the one factor that they have identified that has produced a fulfilling, happy life, whether you're religious or not, whether you're rich or not, no matter what your race or color or creed is, it all boils down to the same thing: meaningful, close relationships. And so let me ask you a question. And by the way, the same study also proves that we are physically healthier when we have healthy relationships. So how much time are you giving to the relationships that matter most in your life? I didn't see this picture, but I heard about an elderly woman who's in a retirement home, and she was holding up a sign that said, "I would rather die of COVID-19 than of loneliness." She understands how critical and how important this is to her own health. You know what? Church is essential. And I don't mean just gathering on Sunday mornings. That is one aspect of church. In fact, just this last week, the Chinese Communist government has started tearing down even state-sanctioned churches. They started by taking off crosses, and then they've begun to bulldoze down some of these churches. And why? Because from their perspective, there's too many Christians. You see, the church, and this is the jokes on them, the church is not a building. It's not a symbol. The church is you and I, and we cannot live, we cannot survive as followers of Jesus without deep, meaningful relationships with one another. And that's why I want to emphasize so strongly the many Bible studies that are starting this week. We have a men's group starting on Tuesday. We have a women's group starting on Tuesday. We have a women's group starting on Thursday. I've already mentioned we have two step studies starting on Wednesday, which are mixed groups, and then we split into men's and women's during that time. But we have one on Wednesday, and we have one on Saturday. If you are not connected in some kind of group, then I want to really, really encourage you to strongly consider joining one of those groups. Don't undermine your own health. Don't undermine your own happiness by isolating yourself from others. And so enjoying life is a life that is with Jesus, a life that is with others, but this third component is absolutely necessary and critical. Living a life, not just for our own sake, but also for the sake of others. And it is proven over and over in these happiness studies done by secular people, even atheists agree, how critical it is that we give our lives away. They use the word contributing to other people's needs. They use the term giving time, volunteering for different projects. There's something that happens to our lives when we begin to live not just for our own pleasure, not just for our own happiness, but actually trying to improve the happiness of other people's lives. In fact, an interesting study is done. One particular psychologist went out on the streets and she started giving money to people, and she said this to them. To a group of them, she said, "You can spend this money on anything you want, but you have to spend it by the end of the day." And then another group of people, she said, "You have to spend this money, but you have to spend it on somebody else, and you have to spend it by the end of the day." At the end of the day, significantly, the people who purchased things for other people were happier. Even a week later, when she got back in touch with them. And I find that absolutely fascinating. By the way, I have more cards. I think I mentioned this already. I have more gift cards to give away. And so if you know somebody and it would be a blessing to them and it would actually help you experience more joy in your life as well. And so let me know, contact me, and I would love to get you some of these gift cards so that you can be a blessing to others. You know, even when we're having a bad day, And we've all done this. We kind of said, you know, I need to treat myself to something. And so we go get a mani pedicure or a haircut, or we buy a new pair of shoes or a new tool or something that gives us that caffeine bump, that 10% bump of happiness. But what the science is telling us is that when you are in a bad mood, when you're struggling, instead of treating yourself, if you will begin to treat someone else, it will actually raise your level of fulfillment and satisfaction and overall happiness in life. Years ago, I heard a story about a woman who was really, really struggling with depression. In fact, she got herself into a crisis and she called in a very urgent way her counselor, but he was busy. He was actually on the way to the hospital to do some visitation. So he said, "I'll tell you what, I can't meet, but if you meet me at the hospital, I'll talk with you." And so she did. She was struggling that much. And so she showed up to the hospital and he asked her, he says, "I'll tell you what, help me. Help me meet with some of these people. Just spend time with them, talk with them, pray with them, and then I'll meet with you afterwards. I'll tell you what, man, when they were walking through the parking lot back to the cars, she was elated. She couldn't believe how good she felt. And the counselor turned and says, I think I know the secret to helping you overcome your depression. And he says, you need to do this or something like it every week. And you know what she said? She actually got discouraged and she says, well, I can't do that. Don't undermine your own happiness by living for your own sake. You know, the scriptures tell us that we are appointed to die once and after this a judgment. And you and I will stand before God and we will give account of what we did with what we were given. What we did with what we were given. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say, God, I did the best I could with what I had. I lived my life with you, with others, and for the sake of others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person that has taken time to listen to this message, and it is my sincere hope that you will use it to bless each person's life. But God, now it's up to us. We've got the information. We don't need more information. We need transformation. And in order to do that, we need to act. We need to take the next step. And so God, help each of us to see and to understand what that next step is. God, at the end of the day, we will give you thanks, and we will be careful to give you all the credit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for taking the time once again to listen to this message. And once again, I want to invite you to go to our website. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, any prayer requests, or if you'd like to connect with me and get some gift cards so that you can give them away to people who have been displaced or greatly affected by the fires. Go to our website at www.bccchurch.org. That's www.bccchurch.org. And all of my contact information is there. And I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you guys, and I hope to see you next time.